everybody, and welcome to the Captain's Quarters, the unofficial Star Trek rewatch podcast where we are rewatching the entire Star Trek franchise starting at the beginning of the official timeline. We are on Star Trek Discovery. My name's Gabe. I'm with my co-captain, Jason. Set your phasers for fun, Jason, and set a course for Disco Season 2, Episode 4. An obol for Sharon. How you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you? Hello, everyone. Hello there.
That was a Star Wars Day thing, right? The hello there?
Yes. Well, hello there.
Little late, but I like it.
Yeah. Is it ever too late for Star Wars?
Never.
Never.
Yeah. Okay, so Jason, in this episode of Disco, jam packed. I'm gonna steal my synopsis from Fandom. Thank you, Fandom. A mysterious sphere threatens the USS Discovery, even as May, in her original form, implements a plan that puts Tilly's life in danger. Saru and Burnham's bond grows when Saru is forced to acknowledge a deeply unsettling Kelpian truth. Pike receives new intel on Spock from a loyal friend. So, Discovery is tracking Spock. Spock had apparently commandeered a shuttle when he perhaps murdered some people in his mental facility. We still don't know if this is true, but that's what we're told. And he is fleeing the starbase where the mental facility was located. And so Pike and Disco are trying to track Spock. They've got a trace on him from some intel that wasn't necessarily acquired in the most ethical way from Rebecca Romaine Stamos, who I believe is number one on Enterprise.
Yep, Unichin Riley, yes. Don't want to give it away, but yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she comes on to Disco very briefly, has a little cameo. And they're tracking Spock. They're at light speed, or they're at warp, I should say. And all of a sudden, they come out of warp, and they are pulled out of warp by this giant sphere. And it looks like the bad guy from The Fifth Element. Did you ever see The Fifth Element, Jason?
I have not. I did not see The Fifth Element.
It's a great movie. Well, it was. I don't know if it holds up.
Okay, I understand that there's some scenes that I'm not sure if I could entirely stomach, but.
Okay. Fair enough.
I could be wrong, but aren't there some pretty gore fest kind of scenes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not sure if I could stomach. I don't know about you, man. I don't know about you, buddy, but like. Like the gore things, like that I could stand as a kid. I don't know if I could do that. I can't do those anymore. As I've gotten older.
No, I hear you. Yeah, you know what's weird is whenever I watch something graphic or violent, I get this like jolt in my spine. Now this is a new thing within the last year.
Oh, interesting.
It's like it's actually my lower back.
Yeah.
I literally
a shock to the system.
I literally get a jolt in my spine. It like physically makes me like arch.
Yeah, a shock to the system, right?
Yeah. Like if I'm watching it on online or whatever, I see somebody crash or whatever. I literally my back arches.
Okay, interesting. Oh, interesting. So, I have something similar, but it's with my eyes.
Really?
And I'm like, ugh, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just... It's like when you bite into a lemon.
Yeah.
And you do that...
Involuntary it's like a, reflex.
Yeah, exactly. So I know somewhat similar to what you're talking about, for sure.
Very strange. It's been a very weird year for me in that regard, because I've never had anything like that. And then this... change just happened in me.
Yep.
So It's like akin to like when someone scratches their nails on a chalkboard, like that, like that physical reaction you get to it. It's just like that. Yeah. So. Anyway, very similar to the Fifth Element. There's a giant sphere, but it's like organic and all powerful. This sphere is 100,000 years old. It's organic to a degree. And it hijacks Disco systems with like a virus. It overrides the universal translator.
Everything.
So
yeah, everything.
Yeah. At one point.
Comms, weapons, I think.
Yeah.
Shields.
Engineering.
Life support, engineering.
Yeah.
Mycelial dynamic room, whatever. Yeah.
Well, comedy ensues because it takes over the universal translator. Everyone is speaking a different language. And so at one point, I think it's Pike comes into the bridge and says, "Welcome to the Tower of Babel," or something. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But Saru apparently knows 94 languages. And so he's able to navigate all of this because he can speak all these languages. And so throughout the episode, him and Burnham are going around fixing the disruption. And ultimately, they end up creating what they call like digital antibodies against this virus. At the same time, Saru himself is sick. At first, he says it's a rhinovirus. In engineering, Tilly's symbiote blob thing may... At first, they have it confined because in the last episode, they pulled it out of Tilly and they confined it into the to the spore drive. So it's just kind of sitting there and they're just kind of studying it. And Stamets tells us it's one of the most advanced life forms he's ever seen. Tig Notaro comes by because when they rescued her from the asteroid, she ended up apparently staying on Disco.
Yep.
She's helping out in engineering. So the thing is with Saru is that although at first he says he has a rhinovirus, he ends up saying that he believes that this thing has triggered in him, and it is this thing that happens to his species on his home planet when they're going to be culled by their predator species. And basically what happens is they die, basically. They go into some sort of weird shock and it ends up killing them. And
well, that's the thing, though. They feel weaker. And then they cut off the ganglia to die. And I'm not entirely certain if they... Yeah, I'm not... Nope. Yep, I'm going to stop there.
No, it's all good. Because I have questions.
Yep.
So yeah, don't hold back, buddy. It's all good.
Okay.
Well, so...
Go ahead. Ask.
So yeah, well no, it's all right. We can just keep talking. So Saru says it's terminal. They go into sick bay, tells them, "Hey, I think this is what's going on. Just so you know, I'm going to die."
And it made and this episode made it feel like that he was connected to this sphere in a sense.
Right. There's definitely
and that because the sphere was dying, he was connected to it and he was dying.
Right. There's definitely like concentric circles of themes here because because this Disco is infected by the sphere. Tilly is infected by May. Saru is going through this this affliction. Yeah. But then as you and said,
can I hold you for a second?
Yeah.
For Star Trek fans, this is kind of this is very similar to how Spock was connected to Genesis, the planet. As it was aging and dying, Spock was also getting older in something. But I'm not going to... Yeah, so... Because I want you to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so not only that, though. So then, as you said, the sphere was dying and Saru was dying. But then also you could say that Tilly was, like...
Fading. Yeah, fading for sure. Definitely.
So May attaches to Tilly again in the chaos of the sphere attacking all the systems on the ship and just all the chaos that's happening. The blob is able to escape the spore drive container thing, and then it attaches to Tilly. And yes. There's just all kinds of implications of like what's going on there. You know, there's hallucinogenic episodes.
Mushrooms.
With psilocybin that may releases.
Mushrooms. Shrooms, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a family show. We try to be.
Yeah, but, you know, so Tilly also seems to be, like, tapped into the mycelial network when May's connected. But then it's more than that. At one point, May cocoons Tilly. Like, May grows in size and, like, encapsulates Tilly, and so Stamets like cuts her out, and then at one point May releases psilocybin into the engineering room, so Tignataro and Stamets trip on shrooms,
basically. Yes.
Yeah,
kids, don't do drugs.
Yeah. Stamets tells her to slap him, and it gives him enough focus to go get the med kit. He injects himself with some sort of Narcan type thing.
Yeah.
And but that was a diversion or whatever. And so May had sucked Tilly into what we assume is the mycelial network.
Yeah.
And that's the cliffhanger. But before that, Saru and Burnham are going around putting out fires, basically, on the bridge. Eventually, he runs out of energy. They go back to his quarters. And he tells Burnham to cut off his ganglia because that'll give him, like, a quicker death as opposed to, like, the slow, painful one that'll occur from this affliction.
Yeah, because because supposedly he delves into madness and gets weaker, and he goes, yeah.
Yeah. So Burnham is, like, not okay with this, but eventually she, you know, she wants to do right by her friend. So she picks up the knife, but before she can do it, the ganglia sort of fall off. And Saru is like a new person after that. The illness kind of subsides. He has a new vigor.
Yep.
And
no longer living in fear. Yeah. A power, he says. His own power. Something of that nature.
Yeah. The result of those having the ganglia was his defining characteristic was fear.
Yeah.
So without him, he's just a new man. But he also learns that this idea that his species, the Kelpians, once they go through this, are destined for death. I guess he learns that's just not true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a lot of character building for him. We learn that his species, the Kelpians, are under the general or the directive one. So is that what it is?
The prime directive. Yeah, general order one or the prime
general
directive.
Order one. Yeah, which is basically their pre-warp. And so they actually, as a species, are completely unaware of all this stuff, except for Saru. Saru was a refugee, and as a refugee was exposed to things he normally wouldn't have been exposed to.
Refugee or the chosen one?
Oh, boy. Oh. Tell me more.
To come home and save his peoples from this lie. This lie. Mm-hmm. This horrible lie.
Yeah. That makes sense. The return of the Messiah.
Yeah.
Basically, like the hero's journey.
I don't know. You never know. Yep, exactly.
Okay.
You didn't see Anakin in this? No, you didn't know. that's what I'm hoping that they will do, is a backstory, you know, of Saru, and tell us more about Kelpians.
And, yeah.
You know, kind of like a Clone Wars episode, you know?
Hmm.
Like, the last time, we're here on Kelpian 4. Oh. A young Saru needs to save his people. No.
No, that was perfect. I love that. Okay, so...
Sorry.
No, it's all good. So before that, though, I know I keep saying things out of order, but it's fine.
No, you're good.
So they surmise, like, hey, you know what? The sphere is dying, and it's just trying to communicate with us. It's not attacking us.
Yeah, they
us.
Don't know that because it's so much information.
Yeah.
Or whatever energy that it feels like it felt like they were being attacked. It's just, you know, I'm dying, but I've got so many things to tell you.
Exactly. It's 100,000 years old. It's accumulated 100,000 years of information.
And yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, once they frame it that way, they're like, oh, we should try to talk to this thing.
Yeah.
So,
I'm curious, did you think... I thought... No. What did you think about Pike's reaction?
How he was ready to destroy it?
Yeah.
I think... I don't know. My only thoughts were I just felt like he was the Western view. He was the... The Western reaction was... destroy what you don't understand.
Gotcha.
Where the episode via Burnham and Saru is trying to promote, like, you know, we should try to understand this thing. We should not destroy it. We should listen to it.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts. What were your thoughts?
Okay. No, you know, I... See, for me, and because I love SNW, Strange New Worlds, it was very un-Pike-like to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
He comes
He's
around, though.
He's a little though. More... I'm sorry?
He comes around.
Oh, yeah. No. And I'm always curious if this was... The story that I tell myself is that this is like a growing moment for Pike. But in others, he's always the Boy Scout and trying to find other solutions to other than killing. And I guess this is a little bit different because, you know, he's trying to save the ship. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was like, oh, a little un-Pike-like.
He's also desperate to get back on the trail of Spock.
And that's also true. Very good point.
Creating an urgency that is clouding his judgment to a
degree. Very good point. Very good point. Also true, yes.
Well, they convince him, though, and so they decipher the message, and so they are able to basically download the corpus of knowledge that this sphere has, 100,000 years worth of knowledge, right before the sphere explodes. But in an act of compassion, the sphere, like, pushes Disco away so that they're not affected by the explosion.
Yes.
While also giving it all the knowledge. And so Pike describes it as, like, the equivalent of the Dead Sea Scrolls for Starfleet.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Very much so.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the episode. Very, like, very bizarro episode. You know, there's so many moments in this episode where, I mean, like, there's literally, they're literally tripping on drugs. So it's kind of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, even, like, when they're in Saru's quarters, there's plants.
I love that he lives in a, that he basically lives in a greenhouse.
Yeah, but it's
and that he like lives on plants.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it wasn't like organized and confined. It was just like kind of free form plants just growing everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like,
I thought that was kind of cool.
I didn't know that. That was kinda cool. Did you know that?
No, yeah. He's the only Kelpian, so I don't think there's ever been a Kelpian, or we've ever even seen a Kelpian in Star Trek before. So yeah, no, this was completely new.
Did you get the impression that the plants growing out of control in his quarters was a new thing, or that it had always been that way?
I think for him, it's always been that way. Like, okay, that he's designed his quarters and decorated his quarters in his own way.
Sure.
And that's not uncommon in Star Trek to see, you know, everybody's quarters decorated in a very different way.
Got it. I mean, I guess Tilly is Alice because she literally gets sucked into a hole.
Yes. 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 Mm. Yes.
But
and actually, this episode, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's starting to make sense of why May accused Stamets of being the killer. Because he's been the one that has entered the mycelial network. And I'm curious if something that he's done inadvertently is doing something to destroy the mycelial network. And this is May's attempt at saving her world, basically.
Well, apparently it's her people.
Yeah, or her people, right.
Which I don't know, are her people independent of the rest of the mycelial network, or are they the mycelial network? Do you know what I mean?
My guess is that they are part of the mycelium network. I don't know.
Like, find out. Like we know they're in it. They live in it.
Yeah.
But are they the mycelia, the spores, or are they?
Oh yeah, that I don't know. I don't know.
Because she says that every time they warp, they use the spore drive. It's like hurting her people, and that's why she's there to stop them.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up a really good point. That's probably, it's probably that they are micro mycelial organisms, and, you know, they come together and form part of a thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the cliffhanger. So we'll have to see what happens to Tilly next episode.
Yeah. Yeah, so they'll probably go after Tilly and try to save Tilly and the mycelial network, I guess, is
possibly the doctor.
And then possibly the doctor, Dr. Culber, yes. And then we got to find out if Spock survived. Well, obviously, but like, you know,
yeah,
what happened to a shuttle and...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you think of this episode?
I thought it was fine. I thought it was, you know, not great, not bad.
Sure.
Just, you know, I'm going to give it a lieutenant. No, that's a little harsh. Lieutenant Commander, 2.5 pips.
Okay.
Again, middling, not great, not awful. There were quite a, I did love the parallels. The one that, like, when did Burnham and Saru get that close?
Yeah, see, I think it's like one of those things where they didn't realize that they were that close until the stakes were high.
And still, because they definitely
were, you know, almost nemeses at the beginning, right?
Yeah. And then it mellowed a little bit to becoming more like
fine with each other.
I guess you could see like a sibling. And I think they did allude to that in many ways, that they were like bickering siblings.
Yeah. Yeah. With Georgia being the mother.
Right, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Giorgio playing the, the parent that rewards, you know. Oh! Michael is my favorite this week because she got an A on a report card.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Saru's my favorite this week because he got an A on his report card.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well,
what did you think?
Well, first, before I forget, tell me, what is an obol and what is a charon?
Okay, an obol is, okay, in, it's, it, this, so I think this is in, I'm pretty sure, this is referenced in Greek mythology.
Okay.
Greek mythology?
Okay.
Roman mythology? No.
Just say Greco-Roman.
Yeah, so, no, I'm actually pretty sure it's Greek mythology.
Okay.
And so in Greek mythology, an obol is a form of payment. Before, it used to be like stalks of wheat or stalks of something.
Mm-hmm.
But in this reference, I believe it's the coin. An obol is a coin that's placed in the mouth of someone who's passed.
Hmm.
And before burial, they would put the coin on that person's mouth, and that would be the toll paid to Charon or Charon. The boatman, the ferryman on the river
of Styx
that divides the worlds of the living and the dead.
Yeah. Isn't it the Styx River? The River of Styx?
Yeah, the River of Styx. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So there was death and not payment, but, you know, lessons or things given based on that. So pretty apt title to the episode.
Who is Sharon in this episode? And what is the oval?
That's a good question.
I mean, is the sphere the one ping the oval as it dies? Is Disco Sharon? Carrying the sphere?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I'm not entirely certain if there is a direct... Because it's also possible... That it's also... Saru.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know, man.
The old Saru to the new Saru.
Ooh, yeah. It's a rebirth for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's what I'm pretty sure that that's what it's referring to, the oval for Sharon.
Okay. Well, so for me, I liked this episode more than the last episode.
Okay.
But it was, like, action-packed.
Yes.
And on this podcast, we always talk about action-y episodes and how they make our job harder. Because, yes. Because there's less to talk about.
Yes.
Less dialogue to dissect.
Yeah.
Less plot points.
And as I look at, you know, our recording, it is about a half hour. So, you know, and we're, you know, scraping. Mm-hmm.
But I will say, though, I do think that this episode, better than any other Star Trek episode that I've seen, has struck a balance because it wasn't pure... sci-fi action, whatever. There was some, I mean, like if you just consider the scene with Saru and Burnham in his quarters, that was a very emotional, well acted, very done, very well done scene.
But again, where did that come from, though? Right, like,
yeah,
it felt a little forced. I don't know what did you think?
Now that you say that,
it did. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I guess I just took it as, like I said before, of like they didn't want to admit it until the stakes were like death, you know.
Right. Okay.
And so I guess you could take their prior interactions as a front, where and this was their true feelings.
Because was there, like, an episode where it was that galvanizing of, like, that cemented this deep, like, relationship, like, this friendship relationship thing? Like, was it in the Terran universe that they got really close?
Yeah.
Because I always try to pinpoint, like, a moment in storytelling where it's like, oh, that was... the battle story where the two friends, they've gone through shit together and they are ride or die together, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I felt like perhaps in the Terran universe when Burnham experienced the Kelpian food, she...
Oh, yeah.
I felt like at that point she... was resolved, like, as far as she's going to, like, mess these people up. Like, she's gonna, like, avenge her Kelpian friend.
Got it.
And then later, she didn't want to, like, tell Saru. And that was her, like, protecting his feelings. So I think there was hints of it, that they weren't totally adversarial, right?
I mean, they were a little bit in the beginning.
In the beginning, they were like, sure.
Yeah.
He didn't trust her.
Right, exactly.
But
was there...
Yeah.
But, like, do you remember any my friend and moment?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Okay.
But I think you're right, though. I think it was in the Mirror Universe where it started.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My friend and we've gone through together some times. No? Oh, okay. No? Don't you love that movie?
Yeah, that's definitely one of those movies I've seen like 12 times.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it though in probably 20 years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I
don't know if it holds up.
Of the most foul, disgusting stench one could ever imagine. My football field. Sorry. I always look for a my friend and a moment.
Okay, I like story. That. Yeah.
In like building a relationship together with someone.
I like that. That's a good model for characters who are friends.
Yes. They've been through stuff together.
Yeah, so I guess just with that being said, I thought it struck a good balance. So I would give it like a B minus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't have any issues with this episode. I thought it was a good episode. I liked it way more than the last one.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and there was some good comic relief in this one.
Yes.
I thought they did a good job there. So, yeah. Excited to see what happens next.
I must say that one of the high points was number one.
Like, sure.
To see number one again after so long. Yeah.
When did we... Have I seen her before?
No.
Okay.
It's... For me, it's been, well, I mean, because I have watched Strange New Worlds, but before that, it was since The Cage in 1966, so.
Wait, but does she play the same character?
Yes.
Okay.
She plays the same character, yes, number one.
So her name is number one?
Oof, that's a tough question. That's a good question. It is the... So, in the pilot, she is not given a name, and she is just referred to as number one. So, she is the first officer of the Enterprise under Pike. In Strange New Worlds, she is given a name.
Okay. Got it. So, she's a recurring character from the 60s.
Just one time.
One time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I guess her hair was a little dated, and I guess I didn't realize that was why. They're probably trying to emulate, like, whatever she looked like.
And here's the other thing, and I'm gonna get on a little soapbox just for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This is another sticking point to me of... Like, where... I'm like, why couldn't Discovery wear regular old Starfleet uniforms that we all love and adore? And, like, I love that this show has... I enjoy it, and I'll take it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't understand... Why they were being so cute.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, let's have new uniforms and let's change the ship and let's have a spore drive. And I'm like, you could have very well made a very good television show, a very good Star Trek show, set before the days of Kirk and Spock, and just let us have the run-of-the-mill gold, red, and blue uniforms and, you know...
Right.
A regular old-looking starship.
To your point...
End of soapbox.
To your point, though, so many of the drastic changes, I feel like they've now walked back the...
Yes.
The drastic Klingon change.
Yes.
And then Pike, in this episode, he's like... You know what? Forget the holograms. Just get rid of them. We'll just use regular screens.
And right.
And like that was their way of bridging like the crazy advanced technology to the next era.
Yeah.
But it's like you didn't need to do that. You could have just started at a rational place. And like if you think about like early on in this show in season one, like how advanced the technology was. Like,
thank you.
Remember the like spacesuits? How crazy advanced they were.
Yes, yes.
And they've totally walked all that back.
Yes.
proving they never should have done that in the first
place. Right, yeah. And they could have you can still write a good story. And still have really good episodes and not have to create these things for yourself that, oh, we didn't think that went through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. It just felt like it just feels like that. Like, oh, we didn't think that went through.
Right. Yeah. 100%. 100%. So.
Okay, cool.
At least they're moving in the right direction, though. They didn't double down on the crazy technology and stuff.
And again, it doesn't take away too much from anything. I'm just getting niggly here. I'm nitpicking.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Well.
Did you have any other questions? It feels, or did we talk through all the things that you wanted?
Yeah, I think they all kind of came up. Organically.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I don't know who that other person was from Enterprise. The other lady.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Is she either. From Strange New Worlds? That you recall?
Not that I recall.
Okay. Why did she come on Disco? Do you remember? That was a weird, like, I feel like they didn't need to do that. They didn't need to introduce another character.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, okay, early on in this episode, number one comes on. I thought number one was going to hang out the whole episode. But she didn't.
No. Just having lunch.
It was one scene.
And updating Pike on Spock's whereabouts and things like that. But yeah. Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, was there anything else with this one you want to talk about?
No, we got it.
Cool. Very cool. Well, before we started recording, you asked me what I did this weekend.
Yes, I did.
So on Star Wars Day, I took my daughter to see episode one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, in the theater. Yeah. Yeah.
She has never seen because a Star Wars movie.
25. 15 years?
25.
25?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
We old. I
know. I know, man.
Okay, so what does Gabe of today now think of Phantom Menace?
It holds up. I enjoyed it. It's faster than I remembered. Or at least my perception of it was.
Sure.
I was excited to take my daughter because she's really into the Young Jedi Adventures show, the children's show on Disney, which is...
Okay.
It's a children's cartoon.
It's not
like Clone Wars where grown-ups can get into it. There's nothing there. Yeah. It's just for kids. Very cute. And
wow,
it does have Yoda in it, but she loves that show. And she, you know, we took her to the Galaxy's Edge. She loved that. So she loves Star Wars.
Yeah.
But she had never seen a Star Wars movie.
Yes.
So this was the first one she'd ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah. And I warned her.
That's a big moment.
Yeah.
That's a big moment. And it was episode one.
Episode one, yeah.
I'm surprised at you, buddy. I thought you might have been a little more like, oh, no, 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 no. She's watching New Hope, Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back.
If those were playing in the theater,
okay,
maybe.
Okay.
But I don't know. I honestly don't know if episodes 4 through 6 would hold her attention if it wasn't in the theater.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
But I knew episode 1, you know, it's got a lot of very childish moments, and I knew she would connect to them. And guess what? She loved Jar Jar Binks.
Woo!
Yeah.
See?
She was laughing out loud at his lines.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then she was talking about him after the movie. She was like, that guy who talks funny, I loved him.
Me, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So.
Lisa!
But like, I had to prep her, you know, like, I was like, you know, at the beginning, there's the opening scrawl. I was like.
Yeah.
So I read it to her in the car. Because I was like, you're not going to be able to read it. And then, just so you know, there's a guy who gets cut in half. I'm probably gonna cover your eyes when that happens. There's a lot of scary parts.
Okay.
But she was fine. It was all good.
Okay. Okay.
She loved it.
Did you cover her eyes when
when
that person was cut in half, though?
Yeah.
And when Qui-Gon was stabbed?
When Qui-Gon was stabbed, I let her experience that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So. Because it is, like, really quick, you know, as he falls. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can tell. I mean, yeah, as an adult, you can tell right away, obviously. But, like, you know, I don't know. Someone who, I don't know.
And
someone
who
just turned.
You know what's cool for me is all throughout the movie, she kept asking me questions.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, she was into it, man. It was awesome. Yeah. She laughed at that part. Yeah.
Awesome.
So.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And you know what? I am so glad that. Oh, no. This is Jake Lloyd, not Hayden Christensen. But I am really glad that more of the actors from those prequel movies are getting the love that they so deserve.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they announced that Star Wars, they're making a Star Wars Lego movie, and Jar Jar Binks is in it, and that actor is going to voice him.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool.
And then also after the movie, after the credits, they had a special look at the Acolyte.
Oh, cool. Anything different for them from what we've seen already? Do you know?
I think so.
Okay.
But I don't know. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that was kind of the point. It was like, hey, here's some footage that we haven't shown before.
Did you know that going in, or did you guys just love?
No. Before the movie started, they said stay tuned after the feature for a special look at the Acolyte. So you know what's funny, is because I've seen the whatever 2 teaser trailers, whatever they are. I had no idea. It just didn't register that Trinity from the Matrix is in it. She's like the lead lady. Are you a Matrix fan?
I haven't seen The Matrix in 10 years, and I've only seen it once.
So Neo's love interest.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
So the actor who plays her.
Yeah.
Is in.
Yeah.
She's Canadian, isn't she?
Probably.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But she's like one of the lead ladies in The Acolyte. So there's a lot of like kung fu type fighting, and like in The Matrix, that's what she does, martial arts type fighting. So.
Okay, and there's gonna be martial arts in this movie?
Well, you know, they're fighting, they're Jedi, they're, you know, it's not all lightsaber battles. There's some hand-to-hand combat, okay. So.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I'm definitely more excited for The Acolyte after watching that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I do remember you guys sending us a photo of her sitting in a cinema.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
With a porg, but I didn't know which film it was.
That's right.
You guys probably did say, oh, we're watching Phantom Menace, but...
Mm-hmm.
And what did Beck... And what did...
Yeah, she was into it, man. So she was asking me all kinds of questions about the
really?
Plot.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, she was way into
it.
Oh,
cool.
She was like peppering me with questions afterwards. And I was happy to answer them and give my critiques.
Okay, nice. So is this their, like, would you say, real intro into Star Wars?
Yeah, for sure.
What? Whoa, that's awesome. Misa excited that they got into Phantom Menace. Because it's actually a pretty good film.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. You know, I think with some distance and some time, I could appreciate it for what it was.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, but I hope they do that again next year for episodes 2.
Can you imagine, like, they must have made quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
Putting it back in the theaters again. I can't imagine how... I think Revenge of the Sith is going to get... If they did it, I think that would be even the more popular.
Oh yeah. I heard it made like 20 million, I think, which was the second place behind Fall Guy, I think.
Okay.
So like this weekend, the big movie was Fall Guy, and it almost did as well as that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So in our theater was almost full, so.
Wow. Yeah. Did you bring a lightsaber?
Oh, dude. I should have. I just completely spaced it. No, I didn't. We did bring the porg, obviously. I wore my Star Wars shirt.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I saw... I've seen some videos online on Star Wars Day. No, on the 5th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was either the 4th or the 5th. The Saturday, whatever date that was.
That was 4th.
The 4th, okay.
Yeah.
That there were a bunch of people that Disney at the parks was having a special Star Wars celebration. And at night, everyone lit up their lightsabers, which was pretty cool.
That would have been awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And I told my better half, I was like, why don't we live closer to Los Angeles?
You're just saying that because you want like the cuisine there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, my man. Well.
Okay.
Yeah, Acolyte will be upon us just a couple soon. Weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, soon. Yeah.
So that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well.
All right, buddy.
Anything else?
No, we got it.
Cool. Well, thank you. And thanks, everyone, for listening and watching. And we appreciate it. And this has been fun. And follow us on Twitter, also known as X. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. All the things. Yeah.
All the things.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And until next
time. Smash that like button. Subscribe.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you have to lose? It's free. Just subscribe. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So just have us on the background and play over and over and over.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, until next time, live long and prosper.
And may the force be with you.